I don't know whether you have been in a situation like that before. You don't even seem to be worried. Kenny Higgins' wife told him something once. That I'm sure if I fell down in front of you like this, bam, me and the children, you wouldn't even worry about it. And he told her that it would be very stupid to worry when all of you are dead. You don't get what I'm saying? The woman was so angry that he never seems to be bothered about anything. That if all of us even fell down now and died in front of you, you wouldn't even be worried. He said, why should I worry after everybody has died? I should worry before you people die. If you fell down, of course I will not worry. Worry at that time will be too late. Sometimes we put things on our minds, all right, that have gone. Let me just say this. There's one gospel we preach a lot. I don't want to seem to criticize it, but I think we have to try and balance it well. This gospel of recover. You understand my point? No, you overtake and recover. Do you understand my point? And collect everything that the devil stole. Let me tell you something. There are times that God sends the devil to go and collect something. And don't bother to overtake and try to recover it. Listen. I know David, he said, a Ziklag, David ran after, overtook and recovered all. That's the one we like to sit on that. Okay, David overtook and recovered everything. But I want to understand the principle. There was a time God came to Samuel. Samuel was mourning the fact that God had rejected Saul. And God looked at Samuel and said, why are you bothering? Mourning over the fact that I rejected Saul. You know what he said to him? He said, now forget Saul, fill your horn with oil. Now come and anoint David for me. Some of the things we are still holding on to are the reasons why we have not been able to see the David we are supposed to anoint. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. If you made an investment and you lost money, you see, there's one thing I love about money. The money you lost is gone forever. I mean, the Naira, you know, if you check the DZ over 2, 1, 2, 6, 8, 2, 5, 5, you can't find it again. Are you following what I'm saying? Forget that one, it is gone. You know how 419 people catch people? You know how they catch people? The man has invested some money. The next thing that looks like I want to lose it. You've invested $10,000. Just put another $2,000 so as to recover $10,000. So the man looks and puts in $2,000 because he wants to recover $10,000. It's now how much he has put in? $12,000. Then they call and say, oh guy, it's now $12,000. Just put another $1,500. So he keeps on chasing money. The more he chases it, the further away the money is because he's losing more by the day. And that is an incentive to put more. I'm a man that God taught long ago. If I'm the one, there was a time I wanted to buy a car. I had paid the man complete. The car my wife is driving now. That's Sienna. He now called me one day and said, it remains 40,000. The car will be there. I said, you don't know me. That was many years ago. I had given the guy selling the car 1.2 million naira total in about 3 installments. Then things began to look funny. He said, just give him 40K. I said, no problem. Bring the car. 40,000 is waiting. People phoned me and begged me. I said, you don't know me. I have kissed that money. Bye-bye. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you want to steal 40,000 from me and I'm not releasing it. There's no talk I did not hear. I said, no lie. People look at, what's wrong with you? I said, listen, now I have lost 1.2. If I put 40, I will now lose 1.24. I don't want to bore you with the details. I said, it's no money. We won't die. After some time, we will recover. Yes. I said, but for me to give you 40,000 naira extra, oh boy, forget it. You know how they want to catch you? They said, little to lose, much to gain. It has never worked with me. There was a time they were sending texts around that, send this text, MTN will give you 1,500 naira free credit. I said, MTN. Of course, it was Wayo people trying to fool people around. I said, no. People say, hey, just put this one, you will get. I said, listen. In fact, if you read the scriptures, running after quick money is a sure way to end in poverty. It's sure. What I'm trying to remember from there is, like, okay, look, you have spent so much. You put in some extra, you may recover that which you have lost. No. The one I lost, I have lost it. I don't want it back. When God, all right, wants to pay me back, he knows how to do it. But the one that is dead is dead. If anything has been certified dead, I let it go. Holding on to it is putting decay into my body. Frank, if a doctor looks at a foot, a diabetic patient, and is dead, what does he do? He cuts it off. He doesn't try to save it. He said, because in trying to save it, if the thing died, reach ankle before, he said, let's try and save the ankle. It will die up to the knee. Let's try and save the knee. It will die up to the hip. And after that, it will die up to the grave. Are you following my point? People want to sit over, I know how much I invested in that business. Oh boy, if the business don't pay me, it don't pay me. No, it means for someone to pay me. If it don't die, it don't die. Struggling to keep it alive is not going to wake it up. What do I do, Pastor Banky? You go and pray. After you pray, don't put any money. Go and sleep. Listen, things can die. That's what I want to say. Don't wake up all night trying to recover. Before David, that you are quoting Ziklag, went to go and chase those people down, he first went to ask questions. Lord, shall I? Will I? Except the Lord told him clearly, pursue after them, you will recover. He would not have moved. That is, the man understood that when we have lost things, we should let it go. Let me tell you the truth. When David lost the throne to Absalom, he did not go back there. When Absalom came and chased him out, David got up and left. After everything, after Joab and Co had gone to fight and they had recovered the throne, David sat outside until the elders of Israel came to collect him and they took him back to the throne. Do you understand what I'm saying? Young men, let me tell you again. You want to marry? And the girl said no. No is no. She's not going to change her mind. Okay. If you like, don't believe me. No is what? No. It is forbidden for you to try and persuade her to change her mind. I am forbidding you. It's not necessary. I was somewhere today and somebody was counseling somebody else. And I laughed. In fact, yesterday, I think 2 days ago, I was watching TV. Or I was passing, my wife was watching TV. And I saw one guy was begging one guy, hey, you know how much I love you. I said, Jesus is Lord. Nobody who listens to me and is a man will ever do that in Jesus' name. This love thing is mutual. I go where I'm celebrated, though. Beg you for what? Are you giving out jobs? Why should I beg you? Somebody doesn't like you. If you are not excited at my presence, forget it. No, ask my wife. Eh? No, wait. Let me just... No, but let me tell you one thing. Ask my wife till today. I'm excited about her presence. And she says why. I said, it's in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 5. He said, be exhilarated by her love at all times. The other day, I was talking to my wife on the phone. I got to a point of discussion. People, they started laughing. The one young woman was there, they started laughing. The man there said, is that your wife? I said, yes. Okay, I just said, okay, love you, baby. Talk to you later. The girl laughed. Hey, look at that. What is funny? Oh, you think it's only for young boys and girls? What am I saying? Listen, Bobos. If she's not excited in your presence, forget it. If you ever buy any gift for a woman because you want her to like you, you decrease in Jesus' name. And I know what I'm saying. What are you talking about? Buy a gift because she likes you and you like her. Do you understand my point? You are not a corrupt man. Don't bribe. In fact, it doesn't work. It's in the Bible like that. Song of Solomon. Say, is it plenty good? There's a way he said it cannot buy love. So if you invested before, it doesn't work. Kiss it, bye bye. Every temporal loss is an eternal gain. You hear what I said? Every what? Temporal loss is an eternal gain. Frank, it worked, Avi. I mean, when you you have sown plenty recharge cards, not work. Next, when you will reap fruit, you won't sow anything. In fact, they give you recharge cards and now they reject. I was watching that TV, Daddy. And the guy was, oh no, Angela, Franca, don't do this to me. Hey! I was just feeling bad where I was. My wife was looking at her, what is it? I said, lady, there's something, no. But Franca, isn't that it doesn't hurt? It does. But you see, we learn to kiss this thing bye-bye. It's not the will of God, it's not the will of God. Bye-bye. It's not the will of God, it's not the will of God. Bye-bye. Don't let somebody run you, mentor. In fact, let me leave men alone. It's women that should teach that thing very well. Don't let any man run you crazy. Do you understand my point? You quieten and compose yourself. In fact, you need double dose. Guys need one dose. Women need two doses. You face the mirror and say, in Jesus' name, you shall not lose weight. In Jesus' name, you shall grow fat. Don't let them know that you are hurting. In Jesus' name, be happy. You speak to yourself. What is it? You've never heard that he took away the first so that he might establish the second. What am I saying? Let's not... One day, a young man, just to finish that gist, a young man came to me. He told me one long story. I said, what is it? The summary of this. I don't like long gist. What is the summary? The girl said that she doesn't think she's interested again. Uh-huh. What should he do? What should you do? Are you deaf? What should you do? I said, leave her alone now. You know, he thought as a man of faith, I was saying, hallelujah. Let me have your hands. I call sense back into her brain. Forget it. I told the young man, forget it now. What's the problem? She said, for her, the guy was surprised. The young man was surprised. He thought I was going to pray. But I said, pray about what? I mean, you forget that phase of life and you move on. That's how God has done it. You don't worry about things that have died. Are you getting my point? Because what they do is they start decaying and injecting problems into your system. What happens to people a lot of time? They keep on thinking about what it had cost them. How much I have spent, both financially, emotionally, everything. And they are unable to just accept that. There's a message I have. I'm preaching it to you. I'm begging you. Go and listen to his title, Take That Loss. God gave me grace. No, that one, I thank him for it. I learned long ago how to take loss. Quickly. Especially when it comes to things like money and stuff like that. Look, it's a bad deal. In fact, the moment the money finishes leaving my hand, I just know it has gone. If it goes permanently, if it comes back multiplied, we give the Lord praise and we give him thanks. Why? Because Joab said, show yourself courageous. Don't be afraid to make investments. That's what he said. In fact, there's one scripture, I think it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let me not refer to it now, but the one that says, cast your bread upon many waters. All right? Yes. There's one translation I saw. It said that don't be afraid to put out your money into investments. Or into merchant ships. And that they might return after many days with profit for you. And that thing really impressed me. It impressed me because what he was saying is that, listen. This, you know, in business, there's what they call due diligence. You know what they call due diligence? Why are they looking at me like you haven't heard it before? Frank, you two have not heard due diligence before. Eh? You don't know what it is? Please now, you must know due diligence. This banker man, you must know due diligence. You don't know due diligence. Okay. Everybody. This is management 601. No, this is 601. If everybody here doesn't know, it can be 101. Now, anyway, what they mean by due diligence is simple. You know, this Indian company just bought up Zen Africa. All right? What's the name of that Indian company now? Battle, all right? Uh-huh. So they bought up Zen. Let's take Zen Nigeria as an example. It's part of what they bought. Now, if you claim that Zen is worth, let's say, $2 billion as an example, you tell them this is how much money we have, these are the things we have paid for, these are the monies we are owing, these are how much staff salaries we have, everything. You tell them. What they call due diligence is simple. They will take everything you have said and they will go and investigate on their own. Do you understand my point? Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, it's called due diligence. They will make sure that they verify everything, because once they pay and they sign the deal, you understand? That's it, is done. All right? So, now, what I'm saying is that, let's say you want to invest in a business and you have done due diligence. That's what I'm saying. Is it a good business? Is it a profitable business? If you have convinced yourself that this thing will work and you have put your things in place, listen to me. Once you put the money out, don't worry about it anymore. It can go. But I like the way Robert Kiyosaki said it. He said, I've seen many poor men who have never lost a dime, but I've never seen a rich man that has never lost money. Anything you want to do in life, you must get to a point like Esther. You say, if I perish, I perish. I have discovered that before God takes you from one stage to another, you have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. What does that mean? It appears like you might lose everything. There are two things. You can decide, all right, that no, I don't want to take that risk. And it's okay. You remain at that level. You never go beyond that level. Or you can decide to take that risk. There's a book I told you to read, Take That Risk by Ben Carson. It will also help you. Or you can decide to take that risk. And the good side of that is that if it works, in quote, let's put if to it now. That's it. You've left one realm and you have gone into another level. For example, maybe you're doing business and you're turning over 100, 200, 300,000 naira a month and you think you're good. The time comes that God opens a door. Now listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I am not saying you should take unnecessary risk. Are you getting my point? I am not saying you should be rash. That's why I use the word due diligence first. Let me say what I've been saying for some time again. That if what you are doing is stupid to you, it is a stupid thing. It's not a thing of faith. Do you hear what I said? Faith is foolish, we know. Amen? But faith is only foolish to those who are looking from outside. So the man walking by faith is not foolish. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let us assume that the investment will involve, like the Bible says, crossing the seas. Your things will be on the ship. Then somebody tells you, your ship might sink. Are you getting my point? You say, what if it sinks? We'll be wiped out. It's simple. Ask question. How many ships sink? They say, 1 in 200,000. They say, why should it be my own that will sink? Peradventure, it will happen. Let's buy insurance. It's part of it. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you have done everything you know to do, I'm not saying you are just reckless. It's a business you know. You understand the steps. When you have done everything you know to do, brethren, learn to take that step and don't worry about it. He said, what if it collapses? That is the problem we are talking about. There is always a what if. And men who never make it, that's what they keep saying. I know the way Solomon said it. He said, the sluggard says, there is a lion in the street and might get eaten up. So he never goes out to do anything. Are you getting my point? If you want to see a man who will never make it in life, he's skeptical of everything. They say, government is selling land. He say, hey, don't mind them. That's how they want to eat your money. They say, you can go and buy a car, pay for taxes and be paying small. Say, don't mind them. What if he catches fire? It is called, there's a lion in the street. That's what sluggards say. That's what lazy people say. There's a sluggard in the street. There's a lion in the street. But the Bible says in that Ecclesiastes chapter 11, they say, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. And I like the way I think Living Bible or New Living Translation says it, one of them. He said, anyone that's waiting for conditions to be perfect will never get anything done. That's verse 4. Ecclesiastes 11. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about this issue of this fatalistic faith. That is, look, your life is in God's hands. He said, okay, what if I take it and I lose? This is the point. If you are going to lose, you will lose eventually even if you don't take that step. Because poverty is a spiritual. It will find you eventually. When it really wants to collect your money, it's when you will not even do anything. Just sit there at home. The roof will just collapse. Bam! Say you won't repair it now. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. This is just the point I've made today. Listen, we have learned how to quieten our souls. Events will come up in life that will require our actions. We do that which we know to do. Then, like Joab said, once we have shown ourselves courageous, if it's business, an example, we have done our due diligence, we've done every other thing, then we let God do that which is pleasing in his sight. And we don't continue to lose sleep over it. There was a woman, I read the story, Kenneth Higgins book, and during the bomb raids of the Second World War, she was in England and in London. And they used to run, when they blow the siren, everybody would come down to the shelters to go and hide in the bunker so that after the raid, you go back home. After some time, they stopped seeing the woman. So they assumed that maybe one of the bombs hit her and she had died. Then one day, somebody saw her on the road. They said, we stopped seeing you at the bomb shelter. He said, one day I was reading my Bible, that the Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. So I reasoned that two of us shouldn't keep awake. So once it's night, I don't respond to the bomb siren. You don't get the gist. That the Bible says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. So she reasoned that two people cannot keep awake doing the same job. If God does not sleep, I should sleep. So once the alarm goes, you know the interesting part? She doesn't even hear it anymore. She sleeps all soundly. He said, why don't you come? He said, God is awake. He doesn't sleep and he does not slumber. And says, me, I'm slumbering right now and I need to sleep. She just closes her eyes and goes back to sleep. T.D.G. said something. I'm not recommending you do this. He said, there are things we have done as children. There have been times we just close his eyes and walk across the road. Say, God, protect me. Don't do that, all right? Now, it's called telling the Lord thy God. But I'm bringing an issue here. That one. But it's an extreme. He was 17 years old, so you understand what I'm saying, all right? But this is the point. Now, a lot of people, if you have never done crazy things, you have never loved the Lord. As a young lover of God, you will do something that's mad. Then God will deliver and say, don't do it again. You understand that? That's not the normal way to do things. I've told you before, if David was an older man, he wouldn't bother chasing that bear. But as a young boy who loved the Lord, he didn't understand that bears kill people. Say, how can I take my sheep? Hi! Collected it back. All right? Now, this is the point I'm making. That see, it's important that in life, all right, we learn to trust God totally. And that once we have done that which we are supposed to do, all right, there's no point worrying about the rest. Are you getting what I'm saying? You want to enter into your university, you've written JAMB. Before you wrote the JAMB, you prayed. Is that not so? Post-UMA, you wrote it, you prayed. After that, please, forget it. Go and sleep. Go for Bible study. Pray about other things. Forget that one. Give thanks about that when you remember it and relax. What if it doesn't work? That's what we are saying. It is not because there is something wrong with you. It is just because it's not your time. As a matter of fact, faith is not a stubborn thing. I must get it now. It is good to ask for it now. And if it comes tomorrow, fine. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. One of the things we preach about faith, which we think is faith, but it's not really faith, is this one of harassing God. And if I don't get it today, all right, I will not let you rest. No. Once you have done all that you know to do, believe me, God is working in your life. Let me say that again. God is working in your life, and you must learn to trust that. Even when you are sleeping, there's something he said in that Psalm 127. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are awake, but in vain. He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early, all right, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep, even while he sleeps. This new American standard, if you have the good news, he says, even while he sleeps. That is, God is still working on your behalf, even when you are not concerned about the thing. Real faith is for you to understand that. That once you have done what you are supposed to do, listen, my brethren, there's nothing more that you can do. You may as well just relax, enjoy yourself, and let God take care of the rest. I hope you've gotten my point.